and Savior. So this morning, as Ryan mentioned, we have the Diaz clan here. I wonder if we can get us all up here on the podium, those that are in the family. But I could just leave and, you know. But why don't we bring the Diaz family, Carlos and Alma, and their precious little baby. Did the grandparents want to come up?
Grandparents are both, they're both here.
Okay, let's get them up here. Oh, look at these little guys. All right. I always get jealous at baby dedications, because there isn't a baby that comes up here that doesn't have more hair than I do. But I believe in the hair after. We're going to give her to Daddy.
Okay.
Yeah. Isn't she precious? This is Mila. Look at that. Wow. She can't believe all these faces she sees. Yeah. What a precious gift from the Lord. This is number 8?
Yes.
That's scary because the number 8 in the Bible is new beginnings. So these guys are just getting started. All right, let's lift Mila before the Lord. Father, thank you for this precious gift that you created. Thank you, Lord, for Mom and Dad, Carlos and Alma. And we pray for them, Lord, in Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit, that they would train her up in the ways of the Lord, and that she would grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that you would use her in a mighty way. Bless her, keep her safe, watch over her. And I pray, Lord, that she would grow up to be a precious woman of God. And so we dedicate her to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a certificate for you here.
Okay. Come on, let's go. Take that. Add it to the collection.
Okay.
Thank you.
Isn't God amazing what he does, really? We are blessed as dads and moms, families. And if you think kids are great, then all of a sudden, grandkids come along, and great-grandkids, and it's just absolutely incredible. Because all the mistakes you made with your kids, you try to get to make up with your grandkids, you know? So, just kidding. If you need a Bible, slip your hand up. Keep it up high so they can see your hand and put a Bible in it. You're welcome to keep the Bible. And I have a little bit of a Father's Day message. Abraham, the father of faith. Everybody ready? Okay. Book of Genesis, if you would, please, chapter 12. The book of beginnings. Genesis chapter 12. We've opened our Bibles. Let's open our hearts. Father, thank you for your precious word. Every precious word from Genesis 1:1 all the way to the last chapter, last verse of the book of Revelation. We thank you for your God-breathed, God-inspired word. And so, Lord, give us wisdom, knowledge, and insight this morning as we look at the father of faith, Abraham, and also the father of the promised son, Isaac. And so, Lord, lead us, guide us in all truth here this morning. Teach us your precious word. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and insight as we hear from you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Kind of scary here with my introduction. This morning, Father, we're going to look at a man by the name of Abraham on Father's Day. His name means the Father is high. I'm not sure. Be careful not to take that literally today, some of you guys. You know, and sadly enough, before I came to know Jesus Christ, that's what I was. Sad. But as we sang this morning a moment ago, he was there all the time, waiting patiently in line for every one of us. And if you haven't yet given your heart to Jesus Christ, he's right there. He's waiting for you to turn around and accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. And it's the most incredible thing that can ever happen to any human being. So Abraham, the father is high. And who was also known as the father of faith. Yeah, what a title for a person. The father of faith, Abraham. Scripture says of this man in Genesis 15:6, we'll get to there soon, that Abraham believed in the Lord and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. Today, the Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God the Father has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's all about believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving him as your personal Lord and Savior. For we are saved by grace. Grace is getting what we don't deserve through faith. And so when a person says, how do I get saved? By faith, by believing upon Jesus Christ. And so here in Genesis chapter 12, let's first of all look at the promise that God initially gives to the father of faith. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, this is what he was called before he was called Abraham or Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Abraham was a pagan at this particular time, a heathen, an Ur of Chaldea. Look what God says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I wonder when God said that to Abraham, if he fully grasped what God was saying to him. Because as we know the rest of the story, and look what God did. Made a great nation out of the seed of Abraham. And he blessed him incredibly. And he made the name of Abraham great. He says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And that applies also to Israel today. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Wow. So God calls him, leave your country, leave your family, leave your father's house. And here God makes a covenant with him. A covenant is not a contract. A contract is based on distrust. A covenant is based on trust. And you've heard me share many, many times about God. God never, ever, ever makes a mistake. And I try to remind myself that every morning as I look in the mirror. God never says, oops, thank you, Lord. Even with dads. Probably a lot of us going amen on that one. He makes a covenant with Abraham, and this is nothing short of incredible. God's going to give him land, make him a great nation. He's going to bless him, make his name great, and all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed through him. Which actually points forward, as we know today, to the coming of the Messiah. Because Jesus Christ is in the family tree of Abraham. The seed of Abraham goes all the way, and that's why we have all of the begots in Matthew chapter 1. So-and-so begot, 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 begot. And it goes from Abraham all the way up to the birth of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. And by faith, Scripture tells us, Abraham obeyed God and departed, just as the Lord had spoken to him. Look at verse 4. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Wow. Amazing, isn't it? God told him what to do. He never questioned God. Oftentimes, unfortunately, we as Christians question God. We really do. And verse 4 tells us that Abraham was 75 years old, which shows me and should show you this morning that you're never too old to be called into ministry. I don't care if you're 100. God can use you. He can use you to pray and to intercede for others. He can use you in many, many, many different ways. I remember when I got called into ministry, I was 40 years old. I thought, man, am I ever going to be a pastor? And then all of a sudden, Desert Storm broke out. And I thought, oh, here we go. But now I've been a pastor over 32 years. Amazing how God works. And I'm getting close to 75. And so far, so good for the father of faith. God spoke. Abraham obeyed. What a lesson that is for all of us today. When God speaks to you, obey. Even as we sing, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. He desires obedience rather than sacrifice. You can give him all your money, you can give him every possession that you have, but you know what? If you don't obey him, your money and all that stuff means absolutely nothing. He desires obedience. As they traveled, God pointed out the land that God would give him, Abraham and his descendants. Look at verses 7 to 9. I'm sorry, back up to verse 5. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife. And by the way, we have a precious little baby in the fellowship now called Sarai. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. And Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were there in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And so here, on his journey to the new place God was taking him, he passed by this piece of land that God was going to give to him and his descendants. This is Israel. Even before Abraham dwelt there, God said, this is going to be where you're going to dwell. One of the many things I love about God is that he uses imperfect people to accomplish his perfect will. You know what? If God just could only use perfect people, none of us would qualify. We're all flawed. We're all imperfect. And yes, even the father of faith will have a lapse of faith. That's why I'm going to share this morning. Because yes, even the one who is called the father of faith is going to have a lapse in faith. And that's one of the many, many things I love about God's word. He uses imperfect people. He knows what he gets in advance. And he still uses us for his glory. That makes it even more miraculous that God could use us to fulfill his purpose. And as we see here, even the father of faith is going to have a lapse in faith. He's going to fear. He's going to fear, as it oftentimes happens with us. And this fear will overtake his faith. You've heard me share many times, fear and faith can't dwell in the same place. If you get fear in your heart, hold on to God's word, and God's word will knock that fear right out of your heart by faith, holding on to his precious word. Let's look at verse 10 to 13. And there came a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know that you're a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. How sad. This is the father of faith. The father of faith is flipping out. Yeah. Notice verse 14. So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. And the princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here's your wife. Take her and go your way." And so Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Can you believe the father of faith had a lapse in faith? But like I said, I love the imperfect people in the Bible that God uses in incredible ways, and God shows us all of their flaws as well, which is an encouragement to me, and I'm sure you feel the same way at times. And here, even though Abram was filled with fear, God, like he often does with us, bails Abram out. Yes, even the father of faith has to be rescued by the Lord. I don't know about you, but oftentimes my most common prayer is, "Help!" You get in situations in this world, it's like, "Help!" And God always helps. And so here, God has to rescue him, just as he does you and I at times. As men of faith, we do too have to be rescued. Let's fast forward now to chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. We got 7 chapters to cover, but we're not going to cover them all. I've only got 4 hours to do the message here, so just kidding, don't hit the door yet. Chapter 15. And again, it's going to be an overview of this one by the name of Abraham, the father of faith. And notice what the first 6 verses say in chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. Again, don't you love that? Even though he blew it the first time, God still is speaking to him. And again, what I love about the Holy Scriptures is when I blow it, which is just about every day, I can pick up my Bible and God speaks to me and ministers to me in many, many different ways. And so after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." He tells us the same thing today as believers. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me," Jesus said. "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, that you may be also." God is going to see us all the way home, in spite of ourselves. And again, like I said earlier, God never says, "Oops." He says, "Do not be afraid. I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." Then Abram said, "Look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir," check this out, "but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, accounted it to him for righteousness. Amazing. Again, another promise from God that Abram had to hold on to. "Do not be afraid. I'm your shield, your exceedingly great reward." Yet this great man of faith forgets. He forgets God's promise that God's going to make him a great nation. God's going to make his name great. All of the families of the earth shall be blessed including his. And God is going to use him to impregnate Sarah, or Sarai, and they will have a son. Abram here says, Lord, I go childless. Why? Because at one time in his life, he was a geyser, but now he's a geezer. Couldn't resist. Lord, I go childless. Look, as if I couldn't see. No offspring, no kids. God's response, one will come from your own body, who shall be the heir. Look up, count the stars if you're able to count them. So shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and the Lord accounted it to him for righteousness. So let's see how this works. Chapter 16 now. And again, this encourages me. Why? Because oftentimes we either try to help God out or do things in our time rather than in his time. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit for a good reason, because God wants us to be patient and wait on him. So let's look at the first few verses here in chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. I'm a geezer too. Paraphrase. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. This blows me away. Why? Because God told Abram, it's going to be from you and your wife. What happened? Notice, he heeded the voice of Sarai. And then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maidservant, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be with his wife. To be his wife after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So I guess he'd be about 85, right? Wow. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. You see what sin does? Then Sarai said to Abram, my wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me. So Abram said to Sarai, indeed, your maid is in your hand to do to her as you please. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Wow. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, Hagar that is, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's handmaid, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Then the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said to her, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God who sees. For she said, have I also here seen him who sees me? Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahoi Roy. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And so Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abraham. Wow. Again, here we see how impatient we can be as humans. God gives you and I promises. I guarantee if I went around this room to every believer, you have promises that you're holding on to. But yet how often oftentimes I want it now. Everything we have in the world today is fast track. Fast food, fast track, you know. We want it now. I think it's so important that we wait upon God's promises. God's timing is always absolutely perfect. God is never late. As a matter of fact, we're the ones that are usually late. But God is never, ever, ever, ever late. Instead of waiting on God, Sarai persuades Abram to go into her handmaiden. I'm not going to expound on that one. I have to wonder why this man of faith didn't tell Sarai about God's promise to him. Crazy. And immediately, because this is not God's will, there's problems between the handmaiden and Sarai. Adultery was committed. The Bible tells us when a husband joins with a wife, the literal term is they are cemented together, two as one. And nothing is ever to get between them. And look what happened here. And again, God spoke to Abram. One would think that if God spoke audibly to you and I, that we would just be totally blown away and would never fail or falter or be fickle in our faith. Yet God is even going to use Ishmael. Isn't God amazing? He even takes our mistakes, lapse in faith, and he turns them around for good. Abraham and Sarai did not seek the Lord's will. They should have done what you and I need to do every time we have to make a decision as husband and wife. We need to pray about everything. And you know the wonderful thing about that is when you pray about something and put it in God's hands, you don't have to worry about it. And then when he answers our prayers most of the time, he does it in a way that we never ever thought he would do it. And that is how our faith is strengthened, because you know that God did that. But now, we joke about it at men's prayer. Just before we have the men pray, we say, number one, God doesn't need the details. And number two, God doesn't need you to tell him how to work it out. He's God. He's omniscient, not you. And so now Abraham is 86 years old. And one would think, man, you blew it, Abe. Too late now. God's not going to use you. Is God finished with Abram? No. Has Abraham blown it too many times? Is he no longer the father of faith? No. Scripture tells us he's the father of faith. And again, look at our track record. We all waver, falter in our faith. We all make mistakes. We sin, be it a thought or an action or a deed. But yet God does not give up on us. And so here we see that almost 14 years later now, check out what happens. Chapter 17. Fast forward. When Abram was 99 years old. God's got a great sense of humor, doesn't he? When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him, to Abram, and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. And again, God is still keeping his promise, which is wonderful. Then Abram fell on his face. Not because he was 99 years old, but he fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be a father of many nations. Let me pause there for a second. Did that promise come true? Look around. Amazing. Look at the genealogy. Family tree. And that's another wonderful thing that we see the Lord's family tree, because even in a family tree, there's people who lapse in their faith and falter and are fickle and foolish with their walk with the Lord. But again, God always, always accomplishes his perfect will. Notice, No longer shall you be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Keep in mind, he's talking to a 99-year-old man here. And I will establish my covenant, verse 7, between me and you and your descendants after you and the generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Wow. Look how God works. Amazing, isn't it? Even when we're faithless, God's faithful, keeps every promise. Even after his lapse of faith, God gives him more promises, doesn't he? Amazing. Notice, down at verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother. Isn't that incredible? Look how God works. You know me, I always joke about situations like this. She's in her 90s now. And imagine her showing up at the bridge club in a maternity smock. The gossip in the group. Can you imagine? A lady in her 90s bearing a son. And she didn't have to go and get a test to see if it was a boy or a girl. Notice I said boy and girl. That steps on toes today, doesn't it? God created them male and female, boys and girls, period. Shame on those people who are preaching Satan's gospel instead of God's. I remember way back 100 years ago, when I was a teenager, all of the guys were girl crazy and all the girls were guy crazy. Yep. Hey, we didn't have no gender problem. We did as far as keeping it under control. I'll move on from that one. Going to bear a son. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. You know what's interesting about that? They're going to name their son Isaac, which means laughter. And said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants. He's going to be called the son of promise. Why? Because the son of promise is going to be in the lineage of the Messiah. And he will bear a son called Jacob or Jacob, which means Israel. Isn't God's plan incredible? Verse 20, after the phone stops ringing. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful. And that's true. That's why we have the Arab nations today. And will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. And Abraham went to the store and bought some flowers and a box of candy and came in the door singing, I'm in the mood for love. Couldn't resist. Chapter 18, moving right along. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door and in the heat of the day. That's Abraham. And so he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself down to the ground. And said, "My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant." They said, "Do as you've said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and a good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it, barbecue time. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" They knew where she was. And so he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old. Don't you love how gracious Scripture is? Well advanced in years. What do we call old people today? Not well advanced in years. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. And again, confirmation. There is no human way possible that this lady could bear a child. But as Scripture says, with God, all things are possible. Now check Sarah out. "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, 'After I've grown old, shall I have pleasure with my Lord being old also?'" I'm going to leave that one alone. "And the Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I'm old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord?'" You know what? Take that section of verse 14. Hold on to that. Hold on to that every moment of every day of your life. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? What is the answer to that? No. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. "At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I didn't laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "No, but you did laugh." Fast forward again to chapter 21. We're getting there. "And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken." You know what? That verse holds true for you as well. God will do for you as he has spoken. Well, I'm not talking about name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it, confess it, and possess it. I'm talking about the precious promises that God gives to you and I day by day. Hold on to those. And the Lord always keeps his promise. He promised to provide our daily bread, food, clothing, take care of all of our needs. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He didn't say whatever you ask for, he's going to give to you. That's false teaching today. Would you give to your children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren anything that they asked for? I don't think so. Maybe to our grandchildren. Just kidding. Verse 2, "For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him." And there we have this 100-year-old man passing out cigars at the club. And Sarah said, "God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me." She also said, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age." You tell me that we don't serve a God of miracles. Really? And he's still a God of miracles today. And as you know, there are many people we come across in life every day that said, you just show me a miracle and I believe. And you know what I say? You're looking at one. If you'd have known me in my BC days, you would know you're standing right in front of a miracle. And only God can take that old stony, corrupt, filthy heart out of this body and put a brand new, soft, tender, holy heart in us and not even leave a scar. He is the great physician. He still does heart transplants today. He gives us new hearts. And it's the most wonderful thing that can ever happen to anybody, to have a new heart. Let's move on now to chapter 22. We're getting there. His faith is really going to be tested now. This is the last chapter we're going to cover. But this is a section to confirm his faith that would just rock us, rock our faith to its core. He's going to be tested like never before. And guess what? The good news is he is going to pass this test with flying colors. Check this out. Now it came to pass. Five of my favorite words, especially after a trial. After these things, okay, God tested Abraham. And let me say this. God will never tempt you, but he will test you. He will test you to prove you. He doesn't want to totally ruin our faith. He wants to strengthen our faith. And sometimes he does that through testings. Because it's a testing of our faith that produces perseverance, that we can press on and hold on. And so God tested Abraham, the father of faith. And he said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. That's three wonderful words when God calls us. Here I am. Instead of be right with you. Then he, God said, this is heavy, folks. Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering in one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now, the amazing thing about God's word, you know where Mount Moriah is? It's where Jesus Christ was sacrificed. It's right outside of Jerusalem. Amazing, isn't it? This is a foreshadow of things to come. So what did Abraham say? Nothing. He didn't question God. Can you imagine that? Take your son whom you love, and I want you to sacrifice him on the burnt altar. He didn't say a word. It says Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood and the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. I can't even imagine what had gone through his mind while they're traveling, or what the conversation was between he and his son, or even his servants. I mean, how much worse can it get? All of those years, he waited 100 years for a son. And God blessed him with a son called Laughter. And now God wants him to sacrifice his son. Notice. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Look at that. Now, he is a man of incredible faith. He knew that what God called him to do was worship. He said, the lad and I, my son and I, will go yonder and worship, and we, both of us, will come back to you. You guys wait right here. We'll be right back. That's faith. Man, I get sheep bumps just talking about it. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. That's interesting as well, isn't it? Jesus bore a cross, a wooden cross for you and for me, heading up to Mount Moriah. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Good question. About 5 or 6 years ago, our precious friends upstairs, the Jews, asked me to speak at one of their meetings. And I did this chapter. And I used the same points I'm going to use for you here this morning. The point to who this is truly, it's a foreshadow of things to come in Jesus Christ, God's Son. Look, the fire and the wood, and where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, check this out. My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Literal Hebrew, God will provide himself the lamb. Amazing, isn't it? How do people miss this? There are so many places in Scripture that are a foreshadow of things to come that actually confirm what happened when Jesus Christ came into this world as the Lamb of God to take away our sins. Then they came to the place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I can't even imagine what that was like. I can't even imagine. I'm fighting back the tears right now. Look at verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Is that nothing short of incredible? Look at this, it gets better. Then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And so Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Whew. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." Now, would you say that's true? Is it through Abraham's seed that the whole world is blessed today? Because God sent his son into the world, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the whole world is blessed today because of Abraham's seed and because prophecy was fulfilled and because Jesus Christ came as the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. And so Abraham returned to his young men, just like he said. And they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Nothing short of incredible. Abraham passed the toughest test of all, didn't he? I don't believe any of us will ever have to come to that place of being tested. As we all do as men of faith, there are those times when we falter. He faltered when it came to Sarah being his wife. And he faltered at times when he had fear in his heart. But this is one time, an incredible time, when he passed the test as fathers, even as men of faith. We too will falter at times. And that's why I wanted to share about Abraham or Abram this morning, to encourage you men, you fathers, you dads. Because just like Mother's Day, Father's Day is one of those days that not all fathers at times can celebrate. Many dads have lost children. Many dads have lost their children. Many dads have prodigal sons. And the list is endless of those things that can bring in heartache on Father's Day. But the good news is that our Heavenly Father has all things under His control. And again, you've heard my testimony. I was at a place where I should have lost it all as a father. And I never, ever would have been a grandfather if I had continued down the path that I was going down. I'd probably be dead and buried and burning in hell right now. But because of His great love, because He was there all the time, even after 33 years, I turned around and there He was. And He saved my soul from destruction. God never gives up on us. Do you know that? You may feel as though you're floundering. You may feel as though at times you're faithless. You may feel as though at times, even times, sometimes the devil will try to convince you you lost your salvation. But God never gives up on you. He didn't give up on the father of faith when he failed a couple times. And God will never, ever, ever give up on you. Father's Day, like I said, can be a very difficult day for fathers who feel they have failed and faltered. But the only perfect father is our Father in heaven, who is always faithful. God will always keep his promises. And again, you and I need to hold on to the promises that he gives us in his word so that he can see us all the way home. He promises to never leave us or forsake us all the way home, even to the end of the age. And we're getting close to the end of the age, aren't we? We're getting really, really, really close prophetically. I don't have enough time. I got about 2 minutes to close here. Hold on to God, guys. Hold on to God, gals. You Abrahams out there, hold on to God. You Sarahs, hold on to God. Hold on to his promises. He is your perfect Father in heaven. And he will keep his promises to you all the way home. As we close, and again, the Bible very clearly says, he who has the Son, Jesus Christ, has the Father also. He who does not have the Son does not have the Father. That's right out of 1 John's epistle. And if you have not got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't have a personal relationship with the true and the living God. Because the Bible very clearly says there's one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ and him alone. It's no other false religion or false person. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, period. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he says. But the ball is in your court. You have a free will and a free won't. And it's up to you whether you will or will not invite him into your heart to forgive you for all of your sins, and to now, from this point on, be your personal Lord and Savior. And I got news for you, folks. There's nothing, nothing, nothing any greater than that. So as we close, if you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ and receive God's greatest gift and have God the Father as your Father, I'd like you to stand quickly as we close to invite Jesus Christ into your heart personally. Anyone, as we close this morning. You got it, huh? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this incredible testimony from Abraham, father of faith. Not a perfect man by any means, just like us. Had his flaws, failures. Many times dropped the ball, just as we do at times. But thank you, God, that you show us imperfect people that you still fulfill your perfect word through, your perfect promises. And so thank you for everybody here this morning. Thank you for the fathers. Why don't we have the fathers stand right now? I want to pray for you guys, if you would, please. Every dad, stand up, please. Praise the Lord. Father, I pray for every one of these men here. In Jesus' name and through the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that you would be the God of all comfort in every heart here. And yes, there are some with unsaved kids, some who have lost kids, some who have prodigals. You know where we are. You know everything about us and everything that's going on in our lives. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would give them a double portion of faith to hold on to you and to trust you to fulfill your perfect will through them. Bless my brothers here. I pray that you would give them joy overflowing in their hearts through your living water. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless them abundantly. Would you do that, please? In Jesus' name, amen. One last thing. We're going to mug you before you leave. We've got coffee mugs outside at the door there. So if you're a daddy, who's your daddy? You can have a coffee mug. And why don't the rest of us stand and we'll close with a song. How about that? God bless you.
God bless you. It is good to praise our Lord. Amen. And as Pastor Joe just said, we close with, beloved, love one another. Let's praise the Lord. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O God Most High, to proclaim your love and faithfulness all the day and through the night. Lie, 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 lie. You make me glad by your deeds, O Lord, so I sing for joy at all your hands have made. How great are your works, O Lord, Elohim Baruch Hashem. Lie, 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 lie,